Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football here with Bob, Dave, and Maura. A reminder that our playoff coverage is brought to you by Washington Farm Bureau Healthcare. The professor, John Clayton, joins us live from Miami on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Hello, John.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Has it picked up out there? Is there more activity, more buzz happening now as it gets a little later in the week?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it picked up a lot today. I think you can see that now most of the spots on Radio Row are already filled. I mean, there's more people coming around as far as getting interviews and stuff like that. So there's no doubt there's been a big pickup, and it's going to continue to grow each day.
All right, John, there was it just seems like every year there's something that comes out, and I'm thinking that maybe because of the Kobe Bryant tragedy that maybe there isn't some story that comes out, but it just seems like, remember there was Ray Lewis and the deer antler spray. Then one week, then the next year it was something about Peyton Manning. Is there anything like that going around, or is it mostly just been taken probably down a little bit but just because of that awful tragedy with Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, I think it's been taken down because I know even today there's still a lot of talk about Kobe Bryant and all that. I mean, not as much as there was on Monday, so there's a little downturn on that, but it's still on everybody's mind because, you know, there's so many fans of Kobe Bryant, both in the NBA and even so many in football. And so it's a constant topic that I think everybody is being asked about. And as you know, it's all, at these Super Bowls, not a question is not asked because everything's on the table. And so, this is one. But that's the one story that I think that has kind of captured all of this. And now as this goes on, I think, you know, we're always going to have, you know, some speaking out of players on football topics, and it's starting to look to me like Frank Clark and obviously Richard Sherman's obviously going to be in the lead, you know, but the Frank Clark's becoming one of the most outspoken people in these Super Bowls because, I mean, before the AFC Championship game, he said that Derrick Henry could be tackled, and he was, so he was right about that. But you know, now he's pretty much saying he's the best defensive end in the league, and he's got this and this and this, and, you know, saying that he's been pretty outspoken. But you can see he was here, had the great confidence, and as the season went on last season here, he spoke out of much. But it seems like he's even speaking out more this year.
Yeah, Bob doesn't like it that he's speaking out in his third person. So I've been
I don't like third
been
person,
calling myself
John.
Dave. Dave thinks it's okay. Dave likes Frank. John.
Uh-huh. Huh? All I know is that John Clayton likes Frank too. But
don't do it, John. Don't do it.
That's not good.
Bob doesn't like it, John. So yeah, you can keep it up as long as you want.
Nobody wins with that, John. Nobody wins. It's no good.
Agreed.
All right. So Frank Clark has 4 sacks in the playoffs, John. You think he's going to keep it up against that Niners offensive line?
You know, I think he could do it, but I'm trying to rationalize right now which guy is going to do better. And I'm just kind of wondering, because obviously the 49ers are going to have the edge because, you know, they've got 4 pass rushers and, you know, they have, including playoffs, 57 sacks. And so you figure that, you know, it's going to be one-on-one blocking on just about everybody. And so, and I don't know if there's a way that you can double Nick Bosa. You know, and, well, of course, I mean, the one thing is that, the Chiefs would have to go into a 2 tight end set to be able to do that. And that takes away a little bit of their speed in the pass catching unit. So it's like, but when I was, it was funny because I was looking at the sack numbers allowed by some of the players. They're pretty good. The Chiefs are in not allowing sacks. I mean, for example, Schwartz has ended up 16 games started, gave up 1 sack. Wiley, the guard, in 11 games that he played, gave up 2 sacks. Reeder, the guard, he gave up. He started 5 games, and gave up 1 sack. Then you have, you know, Jeff Fisher. He had 8 games started and 1 sack. I guess you can see they've had a lot of guys miss games with injuries. I mean, the only one that's been beaten for more than 2 sacks has been Irvin, and he's been pretty well put aside on the bench. So to me, they've got a pretty good pass defense system as far as being able to protect the quarterback. And of course, and you know that Mahomes is going to do it. So I'm trying to rationalize who's going to get the sacks in this game. And, Dee Ford is obviously going to be in a mission to try to prove something. And he did pretty well because he only played like 21% of the snaps in the regular season. And he had 6.5 sacks. I mean, think about that. 232 plays roughly. And he had 6.5 sacks. And he only started 2 games. So they kind of came in under the Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett approach, even though they gave up a second-round pick to get him, to just say, okay, we don't need you to start. Just come in here and get sacks. He didn't play a lot of games, and he missed because of the injuries. But, I'm kind of thinking that, Dee Ford might be the one that can break through. And obviously Nick Bosa is going to have a big factor. So I think that more than likely they're going to have 3 sacks on Mahomes in the game. But, again, is it going to stop Mahomes? Probably not.
Well, am I reading this right? He was only sacked 17 times in the regular season, Mahomes.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing.
Amazing.
Because I was looking at this, sacks allowed number, and it's like, no, wait a second here. Is this a misprint? Because,
yeah.
I mean, again, of all their offensive linemen, the only one that gave up more than 2 was Irving, the guy that they picked up in the trade from the Cleveland Browns. And it's like, wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, the 2 tackles total gave up 2 sacks. Mm. That's it.
Hey, John, how big is this game as it pertains to Andy Reid's legacy? Because the knock on him is he can't win the big game, and the Eagles won the division every year. They won the conference. They would blah, 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 all the things he won, and then he would come up short in the big game. It feels, man, the guy achieved a lot. I know he didn't win the Super Bowl, but it almost feels a little unfair. But is this just going to bury him if he loses this one again?
I mean, it would bury him if they don't re-sign Patrick Mahomes, but it's not going to bury him totally, because if they don't win it this time, then he's going to be, at some point, he's going to be back. Now, I mean, you know how tough it is to repeat going back and back to the Super Bowl. It's not easy to do unless you're the New England Patriots and you have Tom Brady. But, I mean, here's a guy who's, kind of like the new young Tom Brady, except that he can run, and he's got the incredible ability to just scramble and, make plays. And so, if he doesn't get that this year, I mean, Andy Reid's going to get another chance. I mean, because you look at Patrick Mahomes, and you can't tell me that this quarterback is not going to be, in at least 2 or 3 Super Bowls, because, you look at the way things are, and the AFC continues to be the weaker of the two conferences. And so now what you see with the 3 young quarterbacks that have emerged this year, Mahomes, who, had 50 touchdowns last year and had, a great season this year. Then you have, Lamar Jackson. We'll see if he can sustain that, but I can't imagine he can't. I mean, he's that good. And then you have, Deshaun Watson. And so these 3 guys are going to be in the mix, kind of like you saw for more than a decade, where there was only 4 quarterbacks in the AFC since 2003 to win conference championships. And that was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you had Joe Flacco, and Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, 4 for, 16 years? And so I think you're looking at the new wave right now, and that the way that the conference is, I mean, somehow, some way, Mahomes will be back a couple times.
What is the story with his extension? I'm reading the story that Clark Hunt said they'd have to wait maybe another year. He's saying there'll be a right time sometime in the next 12 to 15 months. Do you feel like Patrick Mahomes is on board? He's okay with that, or what do you think about that timeline?
Yeah, I think he's fine, because I think he realizes that this is his franchise, and you see his personal side of things kind of sides with Russell Wilson. He's very positive. He knows how good he is, and he realized the team will take care of him. And, you can understand from the owner's standpoint, there's some dynamics here that have to be figured out. Okay, at the moment, there's no CBA deal, and so you're in the last year of the CBA, and caps are going to be tighter because there's less things that you can do until they get a collective bargaining agreement. So that's issue number one. And so, like, for example, where this is all heading. Based on the current numbers, and I say current because, they're going back and forth right now that the union's willing to do 17 games and really get the cap bigger. But the players right now, and again, against the union's wishes right now, is not supporting. And so they're getting 16. So now if you're going to be Clark Hunt, you're figuring you're going to have to pay $40 million a year. There's no way to get around that. But if they do the 17 games, it could go to $43, $44 million a year with that big cap increase. So that's why he's saying it the smart business way, because there's too many uncertainties. And what you don't want to do is take him and give it all to Mahomes and have nothing else for anybody else, and all of a sudden you drop down because nobody's being paid because you can't afford it in the cap.
Hey, John, I saw, that was well put. I'm looking at a headline that said this 2020 quarterback market could be the craziest in NFL history. And really, when you start thinking about it, possibly Rivers going somewhere else. You got Brady possibly going somewhere else. And then Drew Brees, this retirement talk, it sounds like more and more that that might have been his last year. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I can't remember a year like this. I mean, and maybe you remember the craziness of the late 1980s that was saved by Peyton Manning, because what was happening is you had the quarterbacks the late 1990s. Late 1990s, where things were so crazy at the quarterback position that you had the quarterbacks from 1983, the John Elways, the Dan Marinos, and Jim Kelly, and all those guys. You know, they were in the latter stages of their career, and the quarterback position was so crazy that you had the World Football League, and you can be John Kitna, four quarterbacks went over and played 1 year in the World Football League and next year came back to be starters. And so that's how crazy it was, because it was such a lack of quarterbacks. But this year, I mean, I'm just amazed at what's happened, one, with the quarterbacks that they have to decide on, the Jameis Winstons, the Marcus Mariotas, you know, those guys. And then the older quarterbacks are all in such weird situations. You know, like, for example, I was talking about it today, you have Tom Brady, 43, he wants to explore the market, and he had nothing at the wide receiver position. You know, I talked to Greg Jennings about, you know, even Aaron Rodgers, who's not a free agent, and he was starved at the quarterback position. I mean, say what you want about Drew Brees. He had a phenomenal year, but really Michael Thomas and the tight end Jared Cook are the only real threats he has throwing the football. Then you had no offensive line pretty much for Phillip Rivers. So here's five of your older quarterbacks, the guys that have been the mainstay of the league, and four of them are free agents, and you can't figure out where things are going to go. So, no, I agree. This is going to be the craziest quarterback year we may have ever seen.
Yeah, John, I heard you and Sean Salisbury on your show this morning talking about whether you'd rather have Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady, and you both went with Tom Brady, even though Rivers is 5 years younger.
Yeah, well, because you got the greatest of all time, which is Tom Brady. I mean, say what you want. I know he has absolutely no mobility. Phillip Rivers has no mobility, but Tom Brady can still get rid of the ball quick. And say, if you saw Tom this year, sure, he wasn't all that good. He completed 60% of his passes, but how much of that was the lack of weapons that he had? And then, you know, Phillip Rivers had his problems with the offensive line, but at least he had weapons. You know, he had Pro Bowl caliber tight end, he had Dwayne Allen and all that. He just didn't have people blocking for him, and so he was exposed, and he looked older. And that's why you go back to the four quarterbacks we're talking about. It's really hard to gauge who's declined significantly to the point where maybe they should go. We already realize that Eli Manning's, he did that in the last couple of years, and so he declined to a point where it was time to get out, and he did. But it's like it's hard to judge where these quarterbacks are. But, no, it's like I don't care about the 5 years. You know, Brady still has the smarts, the ability to release the football quickly, the brains to be able to do it, and right now he still has the desire to continue to play.
All right, John, Dave has brought up Ngakoue. How do you say his first name? Is it Yannick?
Yannick
Ngakoue from Jacksonville.
Yannick Ngakoue. Yeah.
Okay, so 37.5 sacks in his career. Boy, it really stands out. 13 forced fumbles in 4 years. Is Jacksonville going to allow him to get out on the free agent market? Will he be available, or will he be franchised?
What I can't imagine him being available. You know, they've mismanaged the cap the last couple of years, so I think they're going to have a difficult time signing him. And so my guess is that the smart thing to do is franchise him. You can't afford to lose him, you know, because are you going to be able to come back? And I think you see, you know, the growing trend of what's going on with these pass rushers. You franchise them, you hope to sign them, and if you can't, you trade them. I mean, we saw that with Dee Ford. We saw it with Frank Clark. I mean, you know, Matt Judo, who we talked about yesterday, is, you know, a pass, he had 9.5 sacks, and, you know, he's now a $16 million edge pass rusher in a 3-4 defense. I mean, their thought is, okay, we'll franchise them and probably trade them. And so now what you're seeing is that any pass rusher that's out there that you can lose, you either want to get value for them, or you want to franchise him to keep him. And of course, you also realize if you franchise him, he's probably going to hold out. So, no, I think that, he's a guy that there's no way they can afford to lose because, Calais Campbell was MVP of the Pro Bowl and on defensive MVP and still a very good player, but he's old. And so, then all of a sudden you're in the same spot as Seattle if you lose Yannick. And then within a year you figure that Campbell's going to be gone. So, I think that simple to me, it's like just franchise him.
Hey, John, when we were talking earlier about, way back when we were talking about the proposal to expand the season, whether it was 17 or 18 games, part of the conversation centered around sitting starters in one of those games. Is that still part of the conversation where you'd have a 17-game season and there'd be a game where perhaps Russell Wilson's not starting? That's part of the deal, because I would imagine that would fly with the fan base.
No, and I agree, and that's why there's a little bit of a schism in trying to figure out what it is, because, believe me, this is the union. The union thinks they can get a deal. In fact, they were yesterday trying to press people in the players to say, okay, let's vote this in. Let's vote this in now. So they were in a stage yesterday where they were trying to at least get the agreement approved by the players. And so, I think there's no way that the league is going to allow, that 17 game with one starter allowed to sit. So that would be the case because, again, they're putting the maximum money in, and it's going to be a significant jump in salaries, salary cap, and everything else, because then you're adding, 16 new television games, and you got international games and all those different things. But unfortunately, the players aren't for it. There's not enough votes. It's kind of like what you're watching in the impeachment category. You're trying to see what's going on as far as, okay, is there enough votes in the Senate to go in and have more interviews and more witnesses come in? And right now, the union, who's willing to do the 17 games, and all 17 games, doesn't have the support of the players totally to be able to do that. Now, they're going to continue to work on it this week. It was at a stage yesterday where if they would have had a positive vote for the players willing to go to 17 games, it would have been a CBA deal announced this week.
Hmm. Yeah, and still the talk about guys playing just 16. And that whole strategy, I just think it could really backfire on them because, it's kind of funny. You were thinking about, okay, if you were going to sit all your starters, what was like the most sure game this year to me?
Home games.
It was it was Arizona. Arizona.
Or the Bengals.
Well, the Bengals, you didn't really know. I mean, it was the first game of the season.
Right.
You don't want to, start out that way. But, man, I mean, Arizona at that point wasn't very good, and they went out and got their tails whipped anyway. So, I mean, just think if you'd had backup quarterbacks in there and all that stuff. I don't know. I think that. And also, what about, when do they announce it? When do the season ticket holders know that, hey, I'm going to go to the game and I'm not going to see Russell Wilson?
Yeah, you're going to watch Geno Smith out there that
day?
It's almost like one of the problems that the NBA season has, and they're trying to address it because they realize the season's too long at 82 games, and the bodies of the players, particularly the stars, can't really they don't want to do 82 games, and so all of a sudden, here you are, of course they do this on the road games with some of the stars. They'll take out LeBron James or they'll take out a star, and so then the fans who wanted to see him from the other cities, they don't get to see him. In this case, it's hard to win road games. And so you understand now, then you're a season ticket holder of a team and your Pro Bowl caliber quarterback's going to sit for one of those games. That's not going to go over very well. Now, again, if you do the 17th, maybe you sit him on one of those international games because, the idea is that you're still going to have 8 home games and 8 road games and then the international games. And then are you having 2 quarterbacks going at each other? No. So I think there's too many problems with that. And again, what the league is not looking for is adding problems. And so, to go to the 17 games, now the league, I think, would be making a major, major mistake if they're going to hold and say, we're not going to do anything unless we get 17. If they do that, then they're wrong. Because again, I think a deal can be made at 16. And if that's the case, get the deal.
John, I heard you talking this morning about adding a playoff team for each conference. So you'd have 7 in each conference. How do you think the playoffs would work, the format?
I think what it just comes down to is that, real simple. Now, again, you have to kind of see how you break, how you break it into the divisional round, because it's pretty easy to say when you start the wild card round, now you're only going to have one bye week per conference, because you're going to have the six teams playing. Now, how you kind of separate that into the mix is going to be one of the things that they have to figure out. But no, I think it's a real simple thing. It's not a matter of having a play-in game or anything else, because, you know, if you have a play-in game but you have to add an extra week, well, you don't have the extra bye week if you're going to be a wild card team. So how they sort it out as far as the so in other words, like this year, you would have had San Francisco and you would have had Kansas City. They get the bye week, but everybody else plays the first week.
Mm-hmm. John, good stuff. Have fun out there. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. The Professor John Clayton joining us live from Miami, South Beach, running around in a thong as he likes to do out there. Having a good time. Have you been out there, Jim? Been to South Beach?
I have been to South Beach, yes.
You like it?
Many years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago when I was covering the Sonics. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like I hung out there and, you know.
You were tearing the city up and ending up face down drunk in the gutter?
No. I wasn't doing that. Yeah. Miami bar scene's kind of fun, though.
It's a different scene out there, man.
Yeah.
How much would somebody have to pay you for you to wear a banana hammock out in public, walking down the street?
If it's a serious question you're asking, I mean, they're in Miami or just walking out the door here?
In Miami, he'd probably blend in. You get a lot. That's not an uncommon scene out there.
I think you'd have to go up to human resources if you came in here.
I don't know. What would be your price? I'd probably $5,000, maybe?
I always say this, Jim. My pride is not for sale.
Well, mine is.
Jim comes strutting in the thong.
What about you? You're laughing.
It wouldn't
there.
Happen.
You wouldn't do it either? You got
no.
pride?
Yeah, I do.
Is it for sale, Bob?
It's not.
There we go.
Yeah, I'd probably do it for $5,000.
$5,000? Yeah. Jim, you just strut through the building all day?
Maybe, yeah.
Running upstairs, asking questions, coming back downstairs.
I'll tell you what. You bring $5,000 tomorrow and I'll do it.
I'm not going to pay you.
Okay. All right. I'll pay you $4,000 to not do it.
Coming up, could we be seeing a 17-game season? We just brought this up with John, and would you want that as a fan? We're going to talk about it next year with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, the one, the only El Hombre, Michael Bradley, will be joining us on the program. So get ready for that, boys and girls. You got to have your energy stored up for that. It's always good stuff. And Jim just anxiously awaits the end of the segment where the phone hangs up.
Yeah, I get a kick out of that. I can't explain it. You know, where something's funny. You know, don't you have something that you think is really funny and not too many other people do?
Yeah, funny's funny.
You laugh anyway.
Certainly. So that's coming up at 5 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, we brought this up with John Clayton, and this is a conversation we had a few months back when the idea of an extended NFL season was put out there, whether it was 17 or 18 games, and, you know, how are they going to manage this, the wear and tear on the body, the pay, all of that. Just put that aside for a moment, and let's talk about the idea that you would have a 17-game season, but one of those 17 games you would designate as a game where you wouldn't have your starters. And I don't know that it would happen all in one game. Maybe there'd be one game where Russell and a couple guys didn't start, and then there might be starters in another game that didn't start. But basically, your starters are only going to play 16 games, however they choose to manage that.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that that is appealing to me. To me, it defeats the purpose of a 17-game season. It defeats the purpose of eliminating a worthless game in the preseason, understanding this does count, so it's not completely worthless. But the idea that you're not going to see the team that you paid for. You're paying to see Russell. You're paying to see Jadeveon Clowney if he's there. You're paying to see Chris Carson. And injury is one thing, but if you're just saying, hey, everybody, this is the game we've determined Russell's not going to play, so welcome Geno Smith or whoever the backup may be. I think that idea stinks.
Well, I don't think they're doing it, are they? But if they were,
well,
I don't think they've determined
what they're going to do.
Well, they haven't, but I think it's kind of cool, really. I mean, it'd be having some strategy involved. And I was just sitting there thinking and Dave was talking about Arizona last year would have been the game that you'd have chosen to sit your starters out. And I would have agreed with him on that. You have an Arizona team coming in here with whatever their record was. But I just would think it. Yeah, trying to pick out which game that is, and then trying to figure out the other team is going to be riled up about that, I would think. Because they'd be going, well, wait a minute. They think they can beat us without the starters. I think there's some gamesmanship there that would be kind of interesting.
If you're a season ticket holder, text in. Tell me if you'd like that. Because there's no, I don't know how they determine. I don't know how far in advance. Well, these are just ideas they were throwing out. I don't know if it would ever happen. But if you're a season ticket holder and they deem one of those games at home as the one, yeah, Russell's not playing, or you know, Clowney or Wagner's not playing, or however they want to manage it. How would you feel as a season ticket holder?
Well, a way you could get around that, the 17th game, as I understand it, is going to be played at some international site, or you know, and maybe there was some talk about Notre Dame, Alabama, just doing it at some different sites in the country, and maybe mm-hmm. you could have your non-starters for both teams playing that game.
But what if that game means everything? What if that opponent is somebody in your division? I mean, I don't know how they'd manage it, but just if we were looking at, we were talking about, well, who would it have been last year? For the Seahawks, you would have said, well, okay, Bengals, first game of the season, but ultimately one of the weaker teams, or the Cardinals. Some of these games are going to matter. And some of them, you know, maybe the team won't be as bad as you thought they were going to be. Or I just think it's a disservice, and it doesn't fix what the problem is. And the problem is you've got four games in the preseason. It's too many. And season ticket holders have to pay full freight for these games. It's a ripoff if you're a season ticket holder, I think. So to rectify that, hey, let's eliminate a preseason game and give them another regular season game, but there's going to be a situation where the starters aren't going to be there.
Yeah, that's a terrible solution. Just either play 17 games or don't expand the schedule, because you know all the logistics of how do you do that, and we just talked about the NBA you know, suspending games for a while because of, you know, the event with Kobe Bryant. And just that day of, there's lots of people that are flying there, so they couldn't, you know, really do that. They couldn't turn that around that quickly. But, you know, when do you announce that Russell Wilson's not playing?
Well, yeah, that's just...
Do you do it on, you know, right before the game when the scratches come out? Or, you know, and then you're going to have to get, you know, what about the punter and the kicker and the long snapper? I mean, do those guys get games off? Or, you know, they just are a very small part of it. You know, same thing with guys running down on kickoffs. What the roster's going to – I just think it'd be more expensive. It would just be – and also, I don't want to say, like, at the end of the year, there's lots of teams that are playing. I mean, I was on teams that were out of the playoffs, and, you know, you're still – it's an important game. You're still trying to win, and, you know, it's – now all of a sudden you're making one of the games not matter. And really, every game should matter, so mm-hmm. in the NFL. The other thing, I hate the idea – of adding an extra team to the playoffs. It would be seven now.
Yeah, I was wondering about
yeah,
that
I
too.
Like that.
I'm like, the current format seems pretty good the way it's set up.
Well, you're almost halfway there to having half the teams. I mean,
you don't want it to be an NBA thing. You don't want it to be that it
14
water
out
it down.
Of 32. Like, it's almost like you would have to try hard to not make the playoffs. To me, that's way too many.
But back to the 17 game schedule, as a player, would you maybe have a different mindset? Maybe you'd look forward to that week off. How do you think you would view it?
I wouldn't want to not play for my team. I just think it would be very strange. It would set up a whole new for the coaches, and how do you get guys coached up? How do you know when? I don't see it happening logistically. To me, it's like putting the ball back on the 25-yard line and having a 4th and 15. It just seems very arbitrary and stupid, and it's not what football's about. And, you know, for the NFL, I just think that, you know, it's just too much of a good thing. You know, I mean, just because it's good for 16, because then what's, and I heard Mike Blauer say this one time about expanding the roster, and he's like, oh, okay, well, what do you want to make it, 26, 27, why not 30? Well, when it gets to 30, why not 31, why not 32? When we go to 18 games, I mean, it's worked fine now. And I just don't think that it would be, the quality just wouldn't be there. It would be diluted. And yeah, it's a terrible idea, I think. And
you hate the idea of 17 games, not resting, but just 17 games. We're going to eliminate a preseason. You now have three preseason games.
Yeah, they're actually talking about two, I think.
Okay,
well, they're taking away preseason games, but the thing is, you know, a lot of the starters don't play in those games anyway. So I don't know that necessarily helps you.
But 17 games where starters are expected, barring injury, you're going to see Russell all 17, and everybody who's healthy will play all 17. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's just one more. I mean, anytime somebody gets hurt, they're going to go, oh, the schedule's too long. And yeah, I mean, I just think it's fine the way it is. Why can't you just leave it alone? I really, every time that it's like,
because you got to replace revenue, and everybody's complaining about preseason games, and the owners are going to say, well, you're going to take away one of my games, one of my revenue streams, where, again,
the two preseason games,
the season ticket holders have to pay full freight for that. So you're taking away revenue from the owner. So their opinion is going to be, okay, well, how are you replacing that? Because we're not going to vote to just let you take it away.
Yeah.
You've got to replace that revenue. So that's another regular season game if you're taking away two preseason games.
I'm probably the only person on the earth that thinks this, but I'm fine with the four preseason games. I don't see why those need to go away. I mean, they don't get that much chance to hit live anymore. And I know it's a lot harder for coaches to coach guys up when you can't have, you know, full pad practices. You can't go, you have to have walkthroughs or else they fine you. And so you get a couple of chances to see guys, you know, four chances to see guys in the preseason. And, you know, there's a bunch of guys that are out there hungry fighting for a job. And I just think it, you know, you're taking a little bit of that opportunity away from some of those guys too. And then I just think it's going to be harder to coach. So what's wrong with the four preseason games? Well, why do we always say, oh, the preseason sucks and the four games, they're terrible? Why do we always say, are they that bad?
Well, it doesn't bother me, but I'm just watching them on TV. And I'm just saying that if you're paying for two games, and if I'm not mistaken, maybe I am, but aren't you paying the same for preseason games that you are for the regular season?
I believe
so. How does that make sense to anyone? It shouldn't. And so, yeah, if you're going to...
I think that's the impetus behind this.
But I understand where you're coming from with the players, and just for someone in sports media who's covering it, I enjoy seeing, you know, guys that are on the bubble, you know, and they're playing their butts off to try and make the team and all those different stories within the bigger story.
Yeah.
But if I'm a guy going to CenturyLink Field and paying for two games that, you know, you're just going through half-assed effort, you know, sometimes, I wouldn't be happy about it.
All right, coming up, Super Bowl opening night had some entertaining moments. We're going to hear from George Kittle, Fred Warner, all of that. Coming up when we sweep the dial next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
I'm telling you, he leaves me on red all the time. I'll be like, hey, Jimmy, I got a question. Maybe on this play, should I run my route like this? No response. Jimmy, you want to go to a movie? No response. And then the next day, he's like, yeah, I got your text. I just didn't respond. Thanks, Jim. That's awesome. So, yeah, he's a bad texter.
G-A-R-A-P-O-L-P-P-O-L-O. I don't know. Forget it.
That's George Kittle saying Garoppolo won't return his texts. Doesn't matter what he's sending him, he just won't respond to it. And then that was Fred Warner trying to spell Garoppolo.
I have a hard time with that one.
I also struggle. Yeah.
For some reason, I always want to put two R's in there.
Yeah.
Garoppolo.
Or two L's, and it's just the only consonant that you got two of is P.
P. Yeah. Well, there are three O's, just not together.
You know? Yeah.
Are there? Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a weird one. You have friends like that just don't text back?
I've got friends that'll take a while. Like, I just know if I send them a text now, they'll respond, like, on Thursday.
Yeah.
How many points would you get?
Sorry. And then there are people that over-text Moyer.
Moyer does a thing. If you start reading it, it's like books on tape.
I know. I mean,
he sends you a novel on there.
He does. So, anyway.
Do you think he does speak the text, or is he actually writing all of that out?
Probably writing it.
What do you do, half and half?
What?
When you text?
Speaking, I try to do that. But it ends up, like, when I was texting your guys' show, whenever I try to say Graz, it came out Bras.
Yeah, some of the corrections, if you're not careful, because I'll do that driving. I'll speak to it and then just hit send when I'm at a stoplight, and then I look at it later and go, yeah, that's not what I said at all. It'll replace word, the autocorrect, so you have to over-enunciate.
Well, I had the speaker thing on where, you know, it's text to words to text, and I finished, and it was still on, and then I started screaming at this lady in front of me, and, you know, dropping a few words.
Got all your curse words.
What the hell are you doing? Get the out of the... And so, and then I just forgot about it and pushed send, and whoever I sent it to...
It's like, why are you mad at me?
Part of it. It's like, by the way, that was not meant for you.
You know, I think that there's a certain individual that can wear them. You know, I would say Andy Reid fits in that category. The general age kind of for that, I would say, is, you know, plus 42, you know, 42 plus, I should say. That. So for me, like, you won't find me in a Hawaiian shirt unless maybe I'm in Hawaii, like kind of when in Rome type ordeal. But I respect it. I do respect it for my guy on the move.
What's your thought on jerseys?
On jerseys?
Jerseys. Have you seen a jersey before? Are those
What's
up to Canada?
Shirt? I don't even know what that is.
It's a shirt that's supposed to be a jersey, but it's a shirt. It has the numbers on it.
Yeah, it's like a t-shirt. Yeah, I to be honest, you kind of stumped. You put me in a blender with this. I've never even thought about that. I don't know if I'm a fan now that I'm kind of reflecting here. I don't know if I'm a fan.
It's Luke Wilson on with Danny and Gallant. Did you say you put me in a blender with this?
Yeah.
Not familiar with that saying. Hawaiian shirts apparently are in vogue out there, and he says you got to be over 42 years old to wear shirt.
And I got a really good one.
Do you?
Yeah. It's Yuba City Honker colors, Jim. You know what that is?
What color?
Brown and yellow.
Brown and yellow.
Yeah.
That Chris, doesn't sound
Chris
appealing.
Peterson went to, I know, that's what we used to talk about. My principal, vice principal in eighth grade used to say, oh, you got Yuba City Honker underwear on. Brown and yellow. So that's where Chris Peterson went, but it's fantastic. But I can't ever find an occasion to wear a big, loud Hawaiian shirt.
Would you ever wear a jersey?
I still don't get what that is. It's a t-shirt.
Well, it's a t-shirt.
But it's got numbers
like you're
on
wearing,
it?
But it has, yeah, numbers.
The number and the name across the back, just like a jersey.
I don't know if I've ever even seen one of those.
Oh yeah. You see.
Well, people buy them. They're a lot cheaper than
a jersey. It's
a
t-shirt.
The jerseys are just crazy what they charge for those.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 100 and up for starters.
Remember before the Jordan Ruse interview, Luke Wilson came and told us to ask Jordan about failing a PED test.
In the ninth grade.
Yeah. And we had to cut it out.
Yeah. Somebody in the PR staff didn't think it was as funny as we thought it was.
Hello, and what is your name?
My name is Earl Thomas, a.k.a. your father.
Do you think you're getting old?
I'm not getting old. I'm still playing at a high level. Do you think daddy's getting old? Or?
I think my dad's old, so we'll skip that question.
That's Earl Thomas being interviewed by his daughter, Kaylee.
How old is she?
I don't know, but that was pretty funny.
It's hilarious.
I think my dad is old.
You think your dad is old?
I would guess by looking, maybe she's like 8.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
When you're 8, any adult seems old.
Right? Yeah, she's 7.
Yeah, you can be 21 plus. And they're going to look, ooh, that guy or that girl's old.
Oh, yeah.
So what is Earl? Is he 30, 31?
Earl's 30.
Yeah. So you know, to her, yeah, he is old to her.
He had a good year.
I still love Earl.
Yeah.
He's crazy, and I love him for it.
He was on his way to
a good way.
He was on his way to Kansas City, wasn't he? And then Baltimore came in with a better offer, as I recall.
Right? I mean, Earl, and I so appreciated the way he played in the Pro Bowl. He was just kind of slamming people around a little bit. He just was a little bit strange here. It was kind of hard to sort of figure out what he was talking about sometimes. The other thing, and I don't know, I always... The smaller guys always impress me. You know, like Sam Mills. Somebody was asking me about, you know, the Hall of Fame voting. The guy was like 5'9". Played linebacker.
Did you like London Fletcher? He was
loved
5'9".
London Fletcher. Loved him.
Used to play for the Rams.
Yep. And there was another smaller guy that played for the Redskins for a while. I can't remember his name.
London went there as well.
Oh, is that what? Okay, maybe it was. I'm thinking of the same guy, possibly. But, it just, Earl is, he's so small.
He's the Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders played for the Colts. He was undersized.
Yeah. Yeah, I just admire that, especially in football where, you know, you can use your size and strength. It's such an advantage. So, yeah, Earl, I'm going to welcome him back with the open arms. I would say, like, right now, Sherm's got some work to do, in my opinion. And if you're a fan, text it in 710-710. I mean, would you – I feel like Sherm, it's going to be a few years.
In terms of what? Like the fans
are – calms down and stops, you know, and you kind of love him again. Whereas with Earl, I feel like it'll be right away. And I know it was very disloyal what he did, but I just, you know, we always say, oh, that's just Earl being Earl. And, yeah, maybe that's an excuse for him, but I still – and he's a great example of if you can get a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, you can get possibly a Hall of Fame type of player.
Sherm's been a little more vocal with his dissatisfaction in Seattle.
Yeah.
And he also plays for your most hated rival as right. well. So it's a little different. Earl did have the finger, the one finger salute.
Yeah, he never flipped off the team. Sherman didn't on his way out.
No, but he screamed at the team on the sideline. Screamed at the coaches. You know, Earl was one moment, and he plays in Baltimore. So, you know, it's
Yeah,
it's
being
different.
A division rival, it's going to take some time.
All right.
The flip-off thing, though, I mean, how many times have we flipped each other off during the show, Jim, over the last 7 years?
Well, quite a few times, and we worry about the camera catching it, so we usually keep it really low.
Yeah, so, I mean, but come on, that's not that big of a deal, is it?
Yeah, Marshawn did it. Nobody seemed to have a problem with him.
Yeah. Here, Jim. Okay. Yeah. How do you feel now?
I feel great.
We've got multiple camera angles here, so careful now.
Well,
we're being seen all
there.
Over the place.
Yeah, I've never flipped off anybody who's paying me $10 million, though. That's never happened.
You'd be able to contain yourself?
I think so.
Okay, he was getting shortchanged, Jim.
All right, coming up, he is El Hombre, Michael Bradley, and he's joining us next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.